Thank God for saving me at 21 years of age. To think of where my life would be without Him, I don't even want to go there. But I do thank God for leading me in the direction that He has for me. I also truly want to thank God for my wife and just what a blessing that she has been to me for these 26 plus years. I also want to thank the Lord for my children. I want to thank the Lord for my boy and just what a joy that he is to Robin and I through his time at home and now even as he is serving at Harvest Christian School at Guam. We really thank God for him. I thank God for my daughter Stephanie. I thank the Lord for her sensitivity to God, and you may even want to pray for her as she's really struggling what God would want her to do. She's wrestling with, is there a greater way to serve God than others? And I personally don't think so. In whatever field God would call her in, if that's where God wants her to be, that is the greatest. But sometimes as you get in academic environments and people and friends, as we talked a week ago with peers and how we're influencing and interpretation last Wednesday night and conclusions, she's just going through she wants the absolute best that God could have for her. And I just thank God that those are the struggles that she is working through, not some of the other struggles that some other young ladies are struggling through. I also want to thank God for just leading me to where I am today and just all the gracious mercy that He's been working in my life, leading me, teaching me opportunities to help people along the struggles of life. And God has blessed us in many ways, and I just wanted to let you know that those sometimes intangible ways are many times more important than the tangible. And how God has really worked in our lives and in as a family, as individuals, is really worth more than anything possibly tangible that could come across our way. However, or in addition to that, that was a very lousy transition. But also God has done something recently in a material way that we are truly thankful for. And I'm sure as you pulled in the driveway, you could not see that bright red convertible out there. And they're really neat. Well, there's two really neat things about it. Number one, it's ours. And but what's even neater than that is it was a gift. And that it didn't cost me a nickel. So I really do thank the Lord for that. Now, I did deliberately preface, hopefully, because, you know, God's blessing is more than just financial dollars. There are many ways that we can obtain money, but as even the credit card commercial says, there are some things that money cannot buy. And I truly wanted to thank God for that. But then also, I do want to also thank God for that material blessing that He gave to us. That red convertible out there.
How fast does it go? I'm not going to go there, are
you? I may have broken the speed limit occasionally, but it's still the break-in period. And, I won't tell you which speed limit because, you know, the speed limits of 25 in our subdivision are just as important as 65 on the freeway. So, judging my character, I guess you can go down that road anywhere you want to. All right. Let's have a word of prayer. And again, I want to, as you see in our church bulletin, at the top of the inside cover is our vision. And what we're going to be trying to do again is continue to once again start the momentum that we started at the April, May, and we still need to keep the vision going. We did a lot of leadership training, and over 40 of you regularly participated in that. And I am really excited to see now that we're done with vacations and missions trips, as we're all gathering back together again and we're working again together, I'm not, I kid you not, I'm really excited to see what God is going to do. And as I told you along, I think He's been teasing us, showing us that great things can happen here at Oxford Valley Chapel. And again, I'm not using this in a derogatory way, but I think, again, He's maybe teasing us with the Awana program. Double what you had last year. You know, you got yourselves right. We did, you know, make some, I guess, pretty strong criteria. You got to attend the services here. You got to do that. And there's many reasons we won't go into it. And then secondly, you got to be reading your Bible every day. I mean, to be a leader and to be influencing young people, we want you to be as godly and as spiritual as you possibly can be. But some of you rose to that challenge, and God is blessing. We got more, almost double than what we had last year, and we've just started. Tim's got other programs, and we're going to have a lot more kids than that. And I believe it's not just going to begin and end with the Awana program. It could happen with all the ministries here. So let's pray, and then let's look at maybe what we need to do and what God will do in and through this Oxford Valley Chapel. Again, Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You again for the truth of these Psalms. While they may not have been exactly chapter and verse, there's some powerful biblical truths that we sang today. Thank You for reminding me of them. Thank You for how some of these songs have ministered to my heart and for the ministry of the hearts here as well. Okay, Father, again, we once again come to You for the Holy Spirit's illumination. We pray that You will open our eyes, that You will allow us to understand through spiritual discernment what You would have for us individually and have for us collectively. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll grab your bulletins, please. Open to the very front inside cover here. We've been kind of working through this vision statement for a while. I've given it to some of you to do a little critiquing, do a little word changing. And this is basically what we've come up with today. Why do we exist? Well, as we've been saying in maybe a less formal, less structured way for many, many years, we exist to change hearts and lives. And we talked about that this morning. There should never be an occasion where you, sitting here today, are comfortable with your spiritual life. And the reason I can say that is I don't believe God can be reduced down to where you are at presently. I don't think that's all there is to God. So we are to continually be trying to transform hearts and lives. And then again, I really appreciate the ministry of Jay Adams. And Jay Adams was invited to lecture and kind of debate a huge psychiatric or psychological association. And it was a very large venue. And his whole primary thesis was this: change them into what? Because there's all different types of menus and there's all different types of men's and programs that have their various ideas as to how to change. And change them into what? Well, we have a very specific goal and agenda here. We want to transform them into the image and the likeness of Christ. So in order for that to happen, each one of us, especially those of you who are members of Oxford Valley Chapel, need to be changing your lives, but it just doesn't begin and end with us. It's not all about us. So then we need to be involved in helping other people change for their good. Because again, as you do observe life, and especially with me, as I guess I have a little advantage over some of you because I get the various phone calls, we honestly have a better way to live. I'll tell you what, as some of you can see in your sphere of influences, there are lives right now that are on the precipice of suicide. There are lives that are on just the precipice of hopelessness, despair. I'm glad that while we may have some rough times, some of which was mentioned today, Our lives are not on the precipice of helplessness and despair. We have God. And it just makes life so much easier. Is life ever going to be easy? No. It makes it so much easier. So we want to help the other person to change for their good. The abundant life that Jesus Christ offered. And then also for the glory of God. Now, and again, it is true, this is now why we exist. In a very formal statement, this is what we do, what we do. And again, as we begin thinking through various other opportunities or programs, they will be run through this vision statement. This is why we exist. We exist to change hearts and lives. We will be changing, and we're going to help change others. And if whatever X, Y, Z that comes down the road doesn't match up with this, then that's not why we exist. We're not going to do it. But since this is what now we are going to be doing in a very formal way, then you need to go to the very back page of the bulletin, that back panel. Our back panel. Since we exist to see change both in our lives and the lives of others, then as you see there, Oxford Valley Chapel then is committed to Christ. We are committed to Christ, for He is both the example and the power that brings about change in our lives and in the change of others. Remember Romans 8:29, for whom He foreknew, what did He do? Yeah, He also, let me get the verb form right, He also predestinated to be conformed into the image of His Son. As we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are predestined. We are, our destiny, shall we say, is to be transformed into His likeness. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul writes again, for this reason we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God which works effectively in you. This week, someone told me some of the most pleasant words that I think I've heard in a long time. Even more than when we were sitting at the dealership and we find out that it's a gift and you're kind of wondering, like, are they going to take it away or what the deal is? Well, those were sweet words. It pales nothing to the words that I heard this week. And they're not here in the building. They don't attend the church here. But someone said something like this as I've been working with them. They said, we are beginning to see change in our lives through reading the Bible. Doesn't that? Amen. That is what's supposed to happen. And I just about almost got a little charismatic and out of my typical stoic nature. And I said, that is some of the greatest words I've heard, because this is not a dead book. When people say I'm going through a dry season, or I don't like reading the Word of God, or it does nothing to me, don't say that very loud. Because this book is alive and it changes hearts and lives if you'll let it. And I'll tell you, it is just exciting to be committed to Jesus Christ and to His Word, because it does change us. We're also committed to each other. As you see there on the back of that bulletin, not only are we committed to Christ, because He's the source and power of change, we're also committed to each other. We're committed to each other for at least two reasons. Well, one is, we need others to help us grow spiritually. And again, just even in the morning's Adult Bible Fellowship, someone had mentioned something to the effect that, you know, they really didn't recognize or realize something until someone pointed it out. Now that they pointed it out, yeah, that's right. Again, 1 John 1:8 says, if we say we have no sin, we what? I tell you, that self-deception is really an ugly thing. Pride again. You know, look at how wonderful I am. You know, I'm not like Dan. I'm not like Robin. I'm so much better. And we don't even begin to consider our faults. So we need other people to help us grow spiritually. But there's another reason why we're committed to each other here in this church, is that we're committed to help them. To help them. We're in the business of helping others. We are a family, are we not? Those of you, if you remember way back when you went through the membership material, one of the things that you read was that we are an eternal family. And again, it's kind of my fault. I should be reinforcing that by referring to us as brothers and sisters more often. They do it all the time in Eastern Europe, in Ukraine. It's always brothers and sisters. Down south, what do they often refer to each other down south? And brothers and sisters. And maybe I should be doing that more here. But we are a family. And it's a divinely appointed family. Again, as you look at Paul's teachings in Romans, in Corinthians, in Ephesians, God, again, this is kind of a neat thing. You are here by God's design. You are a part, an integral part of this body, and we all work together doing whatever God has designed for us to do to accomplish His glory and transforming hearts and lives. Let me support that from just a couple other passages. If you're really good with the Bible, you can flip there. We're going to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. If not, just sit tight. I'll read slow. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 to verse 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though they may be overpowered by another, two can withstand them. And a three-fourth cord is not quickly broken. Let me give you one more passage. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9 through 11. Again, those of you that are skilled in flipping back near the back of your Bible, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9 through 11. I asked this question, I believe, on a Sunday night a while ago. But I asked this question, I said, is Oxford Valley the chapel a place where someone can stand alone? Or is Oxford Valley Chapel a place where no one stands alone? And then why not? 1 Thessalonians 4, 9, again, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God. This is that inward desire, this inner compulsion of loving one another. And indeed, you do. So towards all the brethren who are in all of Macedonia, it's not just the local church at Thessalonica. Great job, but notice what else he says there. But we urge you, brethren, that you should increase more and more. More and more in what? More and more in the brotherly love. So we are committed to one another here in this family. And again, there's all kinds of ramifications of how that actually plays out in what we do and what we say when we're together and when we're not together. But just for point now, is we're committed because we need each other. We really do. Secondly, we also need to help others in their various struggles. We are committed to each other in order to be obedient to our Lord's commands and to prevent anyone from standing alone. They ought to know that if anywhere, anytime, for any reason, someone should offer up something, that we'd be willing to do it. Now again, I understand there's James, if anyone is sick, let them call for the elders. So again, if you're not offering any hints of help, sometimes it's hard for us to read minds. But the responsibility is still on us, anywhere, at any time, for any reason. If there is something that is needed, we're there. We are committed. As we are committed to Christ, we are committed to each other. And then also, as you see on the back of the bulletin, we are committed to this community. If we're existing to change hearts and lives into the image of God, we're not going to have a great influence within these probably less than 100 people here today. But we sure got a couple 100,000 people within this radius. So we need to be committed to the community. To see individuals in Oxford Valley area to be changed into new creations as a result of being in Christ. That is exciting. Again, Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 6 again. And you became followers of us and of our Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. And from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. There was a vibrant witness, a regional witness in the community there. And again, I don't see any reason why we cannot also have that same vibrant regional witness. Especially with the technology we have today. And fortunately, we're accessing some of them. The internet. I do get occasionally hits from the internet from people, I don't know even where they are, but from their web address, it's not Comcast or Verizon, it's something weird like I've never heard of before, so they're probably not local. But while we can use those resources, the best witness we have is just word of mouth. Going out and being the salt, going out and being the light, going out and just by our own lives exposing people to a better way of life. Really rips my heart out to see so many people have such self-imposed hard lives without Christ, and then when they die, wow, oh my goodness, and they thought life here on earth was hard for eternity. It's really sad. You can really get angry at Satan quite a bit. So, in everything we do, in our commitment to Christ, in our commitment to the church, in our commitment to this community, is done for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Therefore, whether we eat or we drink or whatever we do, it's to be done what? To the glory of God. Now, how do we glorify God? We've gone through this a couple of times. Hopefully there are some thoughts that are gelling in your mind and you're not like me with this, you know, deer in the headlight look. Glory of God. If you remember, to glorify God is to demonstrate a high opinion of Him. We hold God in high esteem. We hold Him in a very high opinion. We place great value on Him and what He says. But truly to glorify God is not just so much my opinion of God and then how that plays out and how I live. It's not truly just the way how I value what He says and how that plays out and how I live. But it's more than that. It is to hold Him in high regard, high esteem, to put great respect on Him. But then it's also to have others embrace that same mentality that you have towards God. That is when God is truly glorified. When you can get other people to see, wow, you have got some God. In fact, isn't that what God told the Israelites through Moses as they were going into the promised land? That these people, the Philistines, the Amorites, the Hittites, and all the other ites, would say, what kind of a God do these Israelites have? And again, the Scoggins translation, so that when they snap their fingers, God is right there for them. Why can't that kind of God be our God today? And why cannot we demonstrate that to those around us who are desperately looking for something in life more than self? To glorify God, back in February of this past year, we as a church saw again the regional impact of the Thessalonian church, Thessalonians 1. And I do hope that we still have, although we've not really been pushing that through the summer, although it's still been going on, that we too still want to have a regional impact of changing hearts and lives, changing hearts, saving them from eternal damnation, changing lives, preventing them from stepping on the myriad of landmines that will hinder and maim and cripple them throughout the rest of their lives. We want to do that, don't we? But we realize that such a ministry is not going to happen all at once. But it can, and it will happen with just one. Just one. If each of us would bring just one person to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, well, let's put it in real practical terms. Since we preached this sermon since last February, if each of us would have been able to lead just one person to the Lord in the last 6 months, how many people would be here today? Yeah, probably double. Ideally double. Now, some have fallen away. I've had some people that, you know, they've drifted away and I've tried to get them back and I don't know what the deal is. But there will be some falling away. But realistically, or let's say ideally, there'd be twice as many people here today. Don't, you know, when I'm up here, and again, who am I? But as I'm trying to communicate some of these ideas of Scripture of just one, don't poo-poo that. Ah, what's that? Just one. Well, if each of us would have brought just one in the last 6 months, we'd have possibly double here today. Let me show you some practical ideas of our ministry real quick. Of our vision, I'm sorry. Another practical side of our vision. If we are committed to implementing change in our lives and the lives of others, it's going to have to be done in a systematic, organized way. Because we've been talking about being committed to others, being committed to Christ, and being committed to this community for now, could not we say, months? I mean, how long has this been on the back of our bulletin? A long time, okay? So as we look back from it, practically, what has been the tangible benchmarks by which we can say, we've done this? Well, there's been some, to which Tim has alluded to, and a few other things. But as we were talking about in our commitment to one another, we're going to need an organized ministry of mentoring. Let me demonstrate for you the reality of a need for an organized ministry of mentoring. In the bulletin, I do believe there's still a piece of blank space for sermon notes. Yep, still there. Open it up to the sermon notes. Now, here's what I'd like you to do. Whether you do it actually and write it down or do it mentally, think of the person who is sitting ahead of you. Okay? Think of the person who is sitting ahead of you and write down everything you know about the person sitting ahead of you. So I guess Tom and Bob and, you know, you guys, Heidi, I guess you'll have to pick some of these up here because Tom's got to go a long ways up. But think of the person who is sitting ahead of you and write down, if you would, for me. Well, let's start out real easy. Their names. Who is the name of the person who's sitting ahead of you? Write down their profession. What type of work are they involved in? What type of school are they going to? What grade are they in? Write down, if you would, where is home? For some of these PBU students, it may not necessarily be in Langhorne, or maybe they are calling that home. Where is home? From the person sitting ahead of you. There's many others, but let me go down to just a couple others. What has been the person who is sitting ahead of you greatest achievement so far this year? We're in month number 9. What's the greatest achievement of that person sitting ahead of you? Because for many of you, you've been together now, probably sitting in the same spot for the last 9 months. Who is that person ahead of you, and what's the greatest achievement they've experienced this year? Well, let's look at the other side. What is their greatest heartache? What is their greatest struggle? What, in what way are you beseeching before the throne of God on their behalf? From the person sitting ahead of you. Now, with that then list, write down the ways that you've ministered to that person sitting ahead of you. Write down the ways you've encouraged that person sitting ahead of you. Write down the ways you've challenged that person sitting ahead of you. Oh, yeah. We're committed to Christ. Yep, we're committed to each other. But my bulletin is blank. Don't know their name. Don't know where they live. Don't know where they call home. Don't know their profession. Don't know their greatest achievements. Don't know their greatest struggles or heartaches. Now, am I expecting all of you to know all that information? No. So let's make it easy, because I like things that are easy. Let's just start with just one. Just one. just match up, and again, this is not the beginning and end. We'll be exposed to this again next week. But is there not some way that maybe you, plus maybe not necessarily the person sitting ahead of you, but maybe there's somebody else that you've kind of been friendly with and you kind of know their name because you kind of sit close in the ABFs together, or you kind of talk a little bit at the end of each service, and maybe there's just one person that you could really get to know and help each other grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Now again, I realize that there are some who are not going to do this. Absolutely not. And that's fine. But are there not a few who would be willing to do it with just one? Again, I'm not asking you to know all the struggles and heartaches over here. I'm not asking you to know all the struggles and heartaches over here. How about just one? Just one. Again, we cannot lead all of our acquaintances to the Lord, but we could lead one. So as we conclude today, let me postulate or throw out a couple questions to you. Would you be willing to pray this week asking God to show you the need for mentoring? And I know I really haven't defined that yet, but I've given you an idea of what that is. Who is the person? Where do they call home? What do they got for family? What do they got for occupations? Where are their strengths? Where are their weaknesses? And how can we encourage one another? But would you be willing to pray this week asking God to show you the need for it? Because if He doesn't show you the need, as I just said a little while ago, I can't change hearts. And I'm really not so good with psychology and manipulative ploys, and sometimes I can't even speak. But God can do it. So would you be willing to pray that? Secondly, would you be willing to ask God then to place within your heart a burden for such a relationship? Because again, we all see needs. There are needs in Africa. There are needs in the Philippines. There are needs all over. Well, there's needs in Central Philly. There's needs in Camden. There's needs in Trenton. We read about it. We hear about it. But they're just needs. So we need to go to the next step, and that is, God, place a burden on my heart. Or, as we're here today, tonight, just smack me alongside of the head. Get my attention, God. And then thirdly, and this is where really the rubber meets the road. Because as we've talked individually and somewhat informally about this, this will cost you. And if you're wanting or desirous to get together with someone else on a rather regular basis, you know what the greatest obstacle you're going to come across is? Exactly. I don't know who said it, but say it a little louder. Time. Now, if this is not going to be of value, of importance to you, even though you see the need and you see the burden, if it's not going to be of huge value to you, you're just not going to make the time. Because again, we're all saying, well, we're very busy. Yes, you are. And you're very busy doing things that are important to you. So therefore, as in your heart, as in my heart, God has to work in my heart that says, this is more important. So yes, we may have to cut out some of the other stuff. So, will you pray asking God to show you the need for mentoring? Will you pray asking God to place within your heart a burden for mentoring, one-on-one, getting to know one another, encouraging one another, praying for one another? Number three then, will you ask God to place a resolve within your will? I will do this. I know it's going to cost. It's going to cost time. And that's the most precious commodity we have. But I'm willing to pay it. It's a worthy cause. It's just like we did on this fun fair. It cost us time. It cost us comfort. It cost us some bucks, but it was a worthy goal, and many of us got involved in that. The picnic and all the work that went into prior, during, and afterwards. A lot of work, but it was a worthy cause. This, too, is a worthy cause. Let's pray. Father, again, we come before you. Again, seeing a real need in our church to grow in our commitment toward one another. So then, Father, myself included, I guess really the basic place to begin is with confession and repentance. But then, Father, you need to be really doing a work in our life. We really need to be doing this. It is for our good. But that God put us together by His sovereign design, that means that we have some sort of an effect and can bring effects in the body. So how are we helping someone else? So Lord, we just ask that you continue to work in and through this ministry, again, with some of the things that you've done for us, bringing some new people in. They've kind of, I don't know where they are, but you initially brought some in, showing us that there's people there we can still bring in. You showed us through the Awana program. You showed us other things that you're wanting and willing to bless us. But again, we really got to be continually seeking to be in the place of blessing. So again, Father, I don't want to rehash this anymore, but I just do implore and I beseech the Holy Spirit to be working in each life here, just wondering and contemplating what we heard today. And we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.